All right. You did good.
It was curling where I met him. Holy Christ, I can't forget him. He was throwing stones down sheet five with the rocks in the center. We knew we could do better. Meeting my curling man made me feel so alive. Here you go. Got it.
Okay. Well, Between Two Sheets is back, episode 17. You got the normal crew. The three hacks are all here, Nolan Axton, Wes Mason, and Cole Faulkner. Clay Faulkner sitting beside me. A little bit removed from our last double pod release we did. We had some busy weeks there. Guys, it's good to get back on the mics.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing today? Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Oh, yeah.
We all wearing green?
I have green, right? And you have green.
I wore my green... My not curling club jacket, so I got good.
Nobody's getting pinched. Good. Yeah. Good. Any St. Paddy's Day plans?
I've already been at Ebenezer's once, so I already checked the box.
Did you have green beer while you were there?
No, Killian's doesn't look so great when you add green dye to it. It kind of makes a
little diarrhea.
It wouldn't sell well.
Yeah, that's fair. You've just been having a week, eh?
I've been having quite the week.
I haven't heard about your week. Yeah, what's your week been?
I'm home alone. I'm batching it this week.
Kids? Batch with kids? Or
without kids.
Without? How'd you swing that?
My wife is visiting grandparents in Texas, so it's just me.
Yeah.
I'm doing all these things that I only do by myself, like...
Are they okay for the pod?
Okay.
Because I know what I do when my wife leaves.
Going right there. Okay.
All right.
I hang out with my cat, by the way. That's what I do when my wife leaves.
Yeah. I don't have a cat. I hang out with my dog.
I sit on my computer, apparently.
How many days did you wear pants this week?
Well, I had to go to work middle
because he went right to the computer. I had to cut him off. I knew what he was going to say. Your work computer or your personal computer?
My work computer. Got a lot of work to get done.
Doesn't log into the VPN. That's how he gets away with that. All right. So we've had a lot going on at the club. That's why we haven't been around for a while. First thing we were going to talk about, though, was something we got coming up was league playoffs. We're at the tail end. I think Monday's our only league night that has a game left.
Yep.
That'll be tomorrow.
Yep.
And we talk a lot about Minot City championships.
We do.
It comes up every year where everyone's confused, and that's top down. I am one of the worst offenders because people ask me about the championships like I know, and then I just tell them what I think, and I'm horribly wrong. So... let's hear it straight from the horse's mouth, which is Clay.
League playoffs are posted online generically for Monday because I don't actually know what the standings are yet because we have one game left. Just like setting up league, as Wes and I know this, I will promptly be turning this right back over to Mark when I'm done with it because setting up league playoffs are such a pain in the ass, especially with odd teams. But they are done. We got to figure it out. One of our saviors is actually having a couple of airbase teams that can fill in the odd numbers that really help us out. We get a couple of them in the A bracket. I think one of them in the B or C, and get them a chance to compete as well.
Yeah, so that's usually where I lead people astray. So we actually have three distinct city championship brackets. There's an A league for the teams that actually like went undefeated or tops first, second in their league night. And then there's a B for some people from the middle crowd.
Yep.
And then there's a C for the people on the lower end of their league standings. So technically everybody goes into the playoffs, but only people in the A bracket are actually going for the real, like, Minot City Championship. Right. Get your name on the
name
wall.
On the wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
We post all the champions on the website. You get officially recorded. But you only get your name on the wall for the A.
For the A, yeah. Just like winning a Bonspiel, right? You don't actually get the trophy unless you win the A side.
And there is some consolations, right? Like, obviously, we get into the last week of March where we're having the city championship that first Wednesday in April. Is that the 3rd, I believe?
The 3rd of April. So it's a Wednesday. That's the final.
Until that last week of March, if you lose a game in your championship, you'll still have a consolation match, most likely.
Everybody gets one consolation game. Yeah. After that, we kind of leave it up. I think we do a third place for A if people want, but you never know. It's 8 o'clock on a Wednesday. It might not be your league night. A lot of people kind of fizzle out after that.
But it is open for everybody to come watch, obviously. You might not curl on your normal league night.
Yeah, and we usually have a handful of visitors come down.
Yep. So that starts this week, though, like the actual playoffs.
Actual playoffs start Wednesday this week and Thursday. If anybody notices any problems with the bracket, I'm probably not going to change it, but open to criticism or open to turn it over to somebody else next year.
You'll listen, but nothing's happening. All right. That's good input there. So what's your guys' look? What's it look like going into league? Do we got some surprise teams? Do we got some repeat offenders? What's our first early look here? Obviously, like you said, Monday's not completed yet, but any surprises?
Monday we have mine at Auto is right on the cusp of A versus B. Yeah, we got some deciding matchups coming up here Monday. Otherwise, it does look like the usual offenders for Monday. We get into Wednesday. I think the main surprise there was Grant's team, the Kidney Stones.
Yeah, and who do they match up against? This is fun, Wes. You'll like this.
Kidney Stones play Drill Kim. Yeah, round one.
He gets his brother.
Ooh.
So I would say they're probably the big surprise getting into A. Otherwise, I would pretty much call it the usual suspects.
And then from Thursday? And
it's from Thursday, Grain Belt, as we expected. And, oh boy, I need to pull that up. I can't remember. Well,
probably the regulars from.
I think it's the regulars from Thursday here.
Yeah.
Also, I can't remember the names very well. Who's Clean Sweep?
No idea.
Not a clue.
Yeah, I can't remember
who Clean Sweep is. It's probably down on the bottom of there.
Landon Kimball made it to A. We can consider that a surprise. Yep. So, performed pretty well.
Cool. Yeah. So, exciting times. Other exciting times, as we segue into our next topic, is we're back from the Briar. We survived.
Barely.
We did.
Yeah, Mother Nature was against us. It was a weekend, though.
It was a heck of a weekend. So, I had so much fun.
Let's recap, though. That was my first high-performance curling event I ever attended in person. Where were you guys on that? Have you been to a Briar, or Scotties, or Worlds, or anything? First Briar. Okay, yep. Everybody. Is that where we want to start, like first impressions?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
What if that's high performance, what do we consider our games? Like the lowest of the low performance?
City Club.
That's pretty low. Okay. Just setting that standard early.
If they're the top, I mean, I'm sure it gets lower, but this is like participation trophy compared to that.
We have a dedicated facility. At least.
Yeah. I know where we sit in the world and I'm comfortable.
About with a four it. Out of 10, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just talking about that shot, the second to last shot of our game last week.
That was a Briar shot.
Yeah. Anyways, we won't talk about that. So first impressions of the Briar. What'd you guys think?
Let's start with
venue. How would you think of the venue?
I thought that the Brandt Center in Regina was great. It was just perfect for curling.
Yeah, it's set up real well.
Perfect for curling. Yep, smaller one. Like if you were doing a hockey match in there, you'd be like, oh, this is a small stadium. But for curling, it was nice. I don't think there's really a bad seat in the house there, because even if you're up in the corners, you can still see everything and you're not like 900 miles away looking straight down. Like, I don't know if you guys ever been to the XL Center. I go watch hockey there sometimes growing up. And, if you're in like the third or fourth tiers, you're looking straight down at the ice. Like, it's below you.
On top of it.
Yeah. Your neck's craned. Yep. And you get kind of vertigo up there.
Lots of steep when you get up there, too. Like, just the two bowl system that the Brandt Center has. It's nice. Seats could have been a little farther apart, a little more leg room. I sat down beside you for draw one.
Yeah. We had to stagger our wives between us because we couldn't sit shoulder to shoulder. I thought the facility was great. As far as like when we showed up, it was nice that there was a shuttle service that was kind of by our hotel. So we didn't have to worry about parking, tickets. We all bought tickets for it. I thought they weren't super expensive. It was opening weekend, but that was fairly affordable. And
our seats were fourth row up.
Yes, we could not have picked better seats. It was third and fourth row, and we were right on home side, which I guess home side's the side you start on. So it's always like if you're on the even numbered ends, it's the end you're shooting towards, which was great, because then like N10, when it was finishing, they were shooting, 4 feet in front of us on that sheet A that we were off. Yep. And we were right on the T line. If anything, we were too close because they left the hockey boards up. So you kind of couldn't see like the very edge of the sheet that was right in front of us because the boards were a little too high, but what a good problem to have.
Yeah, great. That's, I think two rows up would have been a little bit better.
Yes. Probably would have been. Yes. I mean, why do we even need boards? I mean, it's not like they had any security concerns. I
left them up for advertisements.
There's two reasons I think
I was joking.
Well, I mean, one, the advertising, and two, that bowl, you know, cold air settles and they're trying to keep that ice good, so it helps keep your cold air in the facility, you know, because it's sits in there, right?
And they keep the hockey ice in, right? So they scrape it down and then flood on top of it.
Yeah, and those like where they walk in between, that's just like a rug, I think.
Yeah,
that just they roll out. It's right on top of the ice. Yep.
So one thing I was wondering, I tried to talk to one of the ice makers. I didn't catch him before we left or before the first match, but are they flooding it? Do they just use the regular hockey?
No. Jet Ice, for these high-level Canada curling events, Jet Ice has a special sponsorship. And if you go watch like the videos on TV, they talk about it quite a bit because it's promotional for Jet Ice. So they usually take like what the facility has built in, like if it's tap water, whatever. If they have an RO system, they'll take it out of the RO system. And then Jet Ice has like a modular thing that I think they pick up with a forklift.
Okay.
And then they run that through like another small scale RO and then a deionizer setup. So they're doing like what Bismarck does with deied water, where you have those activated
they just bring carbon in the tanks.
Filters. Yep. So they and then they have a portable like hot water dispenser as well at the end of it. So they're putting on hot pebble, you know, with a small it's literally just like a 10-gallon water heater. You can see it in the back of their promotional. Gotcha. And it's got like our setup where there's just pipes and cables kind of laying everywhere, you know, and they're straight using I know you guys aren't electrical engineers, but they're using like a Fluke meter, because Fluke is like the fancy volt meter, and they're using that to test temperature, because they must have like a electronic thermistor inside there, and they got the Fluke clipped on directly reading that voltage off that. So that's how they're checking the temp, is they don't have like a built-in nice dial. They have a voltmeter Fluke that they've, you know, programmed the
direct RTD
on,
or whatever it is.
Yeah. So it's a nice setup for sure. But yeah, that's what they're doing. I don't think that they do too much flooding when the event's going on. I think that they prep it, flood it, and then they do a lot of scraping and maintenance on it. And they'll try to do some leveling with pebbling and scraping, but they don't flood like in competition.
Yeah, they won't do a flood, but yeah, they'll scrape a lot. Well, they scrape every draw.
Yes. And that's the other thing that we found out was
big surprise. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about it? You talked to the guy.
Well, yeah, I thought I was going to, I tried to talk to the ice maker. I ended up talking to the main official. Mm-hmm. Fantastic mustache, by the way.
Yeah. It was the dude with the big mustache. Yeah. I'm sure people that watch know who that guy Dennis. Is because he stands out.
Dennis. Yes, definitely. Yeah. So they do a pebble just like we would. I noticed they reapply pebble in the houses quite a bit, but they don't have nippers. They use their scrapers for everything. Mm-hmm. Which they must have a pretty fantastic sharpened blade that's perfectly calibrated, is all I can say.
Could be a different blade they use on it too.
No, they use the same blade. So it's the same blades. We send them all to the same place in Winnipeg. It sharpens them. The two things that they do is, one, they use sharp blades all the time. They don't run a blade for 3 months like we do. And then they don't set it very aggressive when they're using it as a nipper. They have two scrapers, right? They have a nipper scraper and they've got a scraper. So the nipper one, they leave the blade angle like not very aggressive. So it's like less of an angle. And the other thing they do on both of those is they use turnbuckles on the ends of the scraper to tension the blades so they're perfect flat. I don't know what they're checking that against, but I imagine they have like a 4 foot perfect straight edge. And then they put the blade on it and they adjust those turnbuckles until the blade's like perfectly flat, right? Because like, gotcha. It just flexes a little as it, you know, its own weight. Mm-hmm. Plus you put the weight on the ends. So yeah, that's what they're doing. It works great. And the other thing they do too is like they have like a second guy that watches in front of the blade to make sure that it's coming off evenly on it too. So they're paying a lot more attention.
Very much.
Yeah.
That's why they make the big bucks, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, actually get into that. I mean, they're like us, man. It's like volunteer run. Yeah, they have like a paid ice technician and a couple paid officials, but you know, the vast majority of the work there is volunteers, you know? So
yeah,
that's what makes curling go around. A lot of volunteers.
Yep. So. Hardworking individuals. All right. So we discussed the venue. We've discussed the ice surface. Let's talk about the actual games we got to saw. We started out with a doozy. got to see Brad Gushue right in front of us.
Right away.
Playing first game, Nova Friday Scotia. Night.
Yeah, yep. The champion. He went on to be the champion. He didn't have a hot round robin, but he really turned around about halfway through the week and just didn't look back.
Not a lot of mistakes, really.
No.
Pretty conservative game as we watched, but not really many mistakes that we saw.
Well, just talking about just play in general, I knew we were going to see shots, right? Yeah. Like, we've all watched the Breyer on TV. We know what these guys can do. We don't necessarily know every play they're going to call because they look at a set of rocks and, you know, they're thinking three steps ahead. So I don't know what they're going to do every time they see a setup, but they were so casual about these, like, double run backs or these corner raises. They'd execute them, and unless the crowd was watching and paying attention and, like, you know, clapped or cheered for it, like, they just their shot and they walked off and they're just shooting the next one.
Yep.
Yeah, they're just so casual. Like something where we would go in the corner and slap each other on the back for 5 minutes.
Just a 5 foot double, no biggie.
We'd sit up here and we'd talk about it for 3 weeks after. Like, hey, remember that shot I made like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, and they're just pulling those out. You know, one thing with the men's curling too, and this I actually heard on that other curling podcast with Lori and two girls in a game. You know, they said they really enjoyed the Breyer this year because it wasn't so cut and dry. Like, you know, the team that was predicted to win didn't win everyone, at least in the round robin play. Mm-hmm. You know, and we were kind of seeing that too, where they would set up, you know, throw a guard on the center line so the no tick rule applies. Somebody else throws another guard, they draw one in, somebody puts one on the corner. And we saw some of those games, but then, you know, they would hit those double run backs and stuff afterwards, and it was fun. You know, you're watching shots, you didn't know what was coming next, what was going to happen. Like, you know, it wasn't just this mechanical go out there and do everything
not by the book.
It was really fun to watch.
And I mean, a couple of misses that really made him seem human in the end too. I mean, not necessarily when we were there, but watching towards the middle of the Breyer, like I think Saskatchewan, who hadn't missed all week, it seemed.
McEwen Hogg, the guard.
Yeah. Human things were happening.
Well, we saw that too with, like, you know, like Nova Scotia. I don't want to pick on Team Nova Scotia at all, but, like, you know, some of their leads, like, they'd put a guard up and they'd leave it way too high, right? You know, they were probably 10 feet further back than they wanted to be, or maybe they were a little deeper too. I think we actually saw that a lot where somebody went to put a guard and they were a couple feet too deep
with the guards
in the house. Yeah. So you watch that kind of thing though and you think, yeah, they're human. You know, they're just like any other curler out there. Not every shot works out exactly how you want, especially in the earlier rocks at an end where, you know, your leads do a lot of work figuring out the ice for you and they don't get a whole lot of I guess recognition for that.
It was draw one. Cooey was curling on sheet B. It was the two Alberta teams were playing him and what was the other guy's name with the hair? Slachinski. Cooey was forced to draw to the 4 foot for one and he threw it right through, like, all the way through the house. That's one of the best curlers to ever play the game.
And we didn't get there Friday early enough to watch it, but we did Saturday. It was so cool seeing the last stone draws where, like, because the teams are out there practicing and then the official goes on the announcement and he's like, okay, like, you know, players, like, throw the intern, you know, and that one guy, whoever they nominated, goes out and throws that rock. And it was so cool being right on the tee line where we were, because we had a couple moments, nobody got their camera out fast enough, but you saw all the skips lined up with the exact same call because they're standing on the tee line, everybody's throwing the same handle, they all got their broom out, so you see all the skips in this perfect row like statues. And then the players come sliding out, you know, and just, you know, they can manage those rocks so well. I mean, everybody was like hitting the 4 foot for the most part when you were watching last stone draws. You know, they just practiced that shot, but still, it's really cool to see.
Very much. Yeah. And not everyone, but especially not some of the skips, but some of the leads, the seconds, the size of these guys, the strength was something that I think is kind of lost on TV. Like, we were very surprised at how strong some of these guys were.
Well, that's what we were going to talk about. We got to see one of the biggest guys in the Bonspiel, E.J. Harden, yell at it. Well, not yell, but he gave the gears to a fan right in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, watch game one about three quarters of the way through.
So, to go back to the sweeping before we dive into that debacle, it was so cool watching those sweepers in person without the camera between you and them. Because when you see on TV, their arms are just a blur moving. And some of that go, oh, my TV's bad. It's the camera. You know, they have to pick between picture quality and how fast, you know, the camera can record. But watching it in person, their arms were still a blur. They're moving so fast out there. It's like your eyes are having a hard time keeping up with what their hands are doing. And you're just you know, they're leaning all over on the broom. And the cool thing was we were sitting so close, you could hear the broom on the ice.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like three sheets over, like sheet B or I'm sorry, sheet C or D, like you could hear that guy sweeping out there if the crowd wasn't actively
sounded like someone running with a pair of wind pants on.
Yes. It did.
Yeah, that's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
The thing is, too, like, just about the speed, like, they're not doing just a little wiggle in front of the rock either.
No.
Like, it's a full 2-foot swipe that they're taking in front of this rock.
Well, that's what you try to tell people. I'm like, their whole body weight essentially is on that broom,
yeah.
And they're still doing that, and they're moving their feet, and they're doing it on those takeout shots. Like, guys are throwing 7, 8, 9, 10 yeah. second takeout weight, and the sweepers are right there with it sweeping, you know?
Ugh. Very much.
It's amazing.
I'm a big fan of good sweepers. It's just fun to watch. But yeah, we were going to talk about the bonehead.
The sheet one debacle of game one.
Yes. So let's paint a picture. So Team Nova Scotia is playing Team Canada.
Yep.
We are sitting right on the T line on the home sheet, and we're rows three and four. And what it was like the third end. A guy and his girlfriend come down and they sit row one, right, very like right on the board,
right
essentially.
The
like the guy's resting his big gulp on the board, you know.
His
and do we want to describe the gentleman?
we should describe the pair of people that came in. Yes, I agree. he's wearing.
Let's not. The poor girl that was with him. I don't think she had a whole lot to do with it, other than poor taste in men.
But, well, and pajama pants.
But she was wearing pajama pants.
Yeah, you know.
He's wearing mismatched camo. He's got his camo ski jacket on and a pair of white camo sweats and a cigarette in his ear. So.
Yes,
and it was
the
like
cigarette in the ear. Yeah,
$20 bill and put it in your ear. You might as well do that up there.
Yeah, well, I just you're in an arena in Canada, which has even stricter no smoking
right.
in public places rules than down here. Like, you don't need to have your cigarette ready to go, man.
Yeah,
like, it's a 10-minute walk to where you can smoke that.
It's a clear fashion statement.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Did he? He had a big flat bill with him too, right? He didn't have it on the whole time.
He didn't have it on.
Oh, okay. I thought he was wearing one. Took it off, but anyways,
might have had a toque or something.
Maybe. So this guy comes and sits in front of us, and for the first couple ends, he was just like quietly chirping. Right, that was one thing that stuck out to me. It was like he clearly was opinionated, but he didn't like. He wasn't being very loud up there.
I couldn't hear anything he was saying right away.
It was like a muffled. Yeah,
I could hear him chirping. But yeah,
don't miss. Like things like that is all you could really hear, and it's like whatever. But.
Well, and that when did Harden get on him? Because they were shooting an even numbered end. Or sorry, odd.
It was the seventh or the ninth.
It was coming down to
crunch time. Yep.
So he was there four ends, like from the third end to the seventh. When to cut to the chase, he finally left. But he kept getting constantly more aggressive with his taunting. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think it was like. End four or five when he finally started, like, he was kicking the boards for a while.
Yeah, he was banging on the boards,
banging on them.
He'd lean over. Well, and I was watching his goddamn pop. He had that big gulp, and he would lean over the boards. So his, like, pop is almost over the ice surface, and he's, like, flicking it almost. And I kept waiting for, like, pop to come off the straw or the top and, like, land on the ice, and that would be the end of it. But I don't know if that happened or not. So yeah.
Anyway, if they had mics on. So
yeah,
you could actually hear the argument that eventually broke out between Team Canada and this winner.
And like I said, it was of all people, it's EJ Harden. And like, if that guy turns around and tells me to stop doing something, I'm shaking his hand saying, yes, sir, it won't happen again. Because he is huge.
Yes.
He's very tall.
Yeah. He's tall. And like, he's slimmed down a bit, but like, he's still jacked.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and he handled it really well. Like, that shows just the level of professionalism that these guys have. He turns around, he didn't call him any names or anything like that. He's just like, hey, man, like, you're watching curling. You don't do that.
More or less just saying, do you see anybody else out here?
Yeah.
More or less like being a dipshit.
Well, I remember a little bit of Harden's speech, you know, and I just want to talk about that guy a little bit more, though, too, because he was saying stuff like, you suck, you know, he was banging on the boards at critical moments, like when they were sliding out of the hack, and he was chirping other stuff, too. So he was being obnoxious, I guess, but like by American sports watching standards, you know, he
pretty much the norm for hockey.
Yeah, like the norm for hockey.
You get it
like,
at hockey, you'll get it at baseball.
Right? Yeah, yeah. There's always a guy in the crowd doing that. But I think the difference was he's literally 4 feet from them.
Yeah.
You know, like the guy that's sweeping with his back to the stadium, like he could reach out and touch him.
Oh,
so he's right there talking
in
your ear.
Of his neck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I don't remember exactly what he said that finally like got under Gushu's skin. I know it was because he was coming out of the hack. He started his slide and that guy started chirping, kicking the boards and like saying you suck or something, or boo Team Canada, you know?
Well, and he was throwing that angle raise that he threw to score two, but like it wasn't an easy shot.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once again, I mean, you could say whatever you want in hockey as a spectator, but you're not leaning over the boards.
Breathing.
There's glass there.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Right. Yeah. And then, so yeah, he just called a technical timeout, and I thought it was so funny. The officials, like, it was the most Canadian.
Oh, yes.
Ever. Because one official came down and he's talking to Brad a little bit about it. And he's like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden the guy's got the rock in his hand.
He clearly did not want to deal with the situation at hand.
Zero ambition to deal with what was going on. And he's cleaning the rock off, and Gushu ends up down at the other side. And one of the other old guys, it wasn't Dennis, it was one of the other head officials, ended up coming down.
Yeah, it was that younger guy, black hair. So I want to say back to Harnan, though, you know, what I really respected was when he came up, he said, you know, you are trying to participate in this sporting event. Like, we're here to play. You guys came to spectate, you know, but you are trying to actively participate and change the outcome of the game. He's like, that's not okay. He's like, you can cheer
for the shot.
You know, you can even like boo, but don't do it while we're shooting. Don't kick the boards. You know, that's not why you're here. You know, you're trying to change the outcome of this game. And I thought that was super succinct. I was like, wow. I was like, I don't know how this guy like kept his composure. Cause I would have not had a coherent argument if it was me. I would have just came out mad. Like, you're a piece of shit. Stop that. You know, wouldn't have been able to articulate myself as well in the moment as Harnden did. So, hats off to that guy.
That's Nolan, how long would you lasted out there?
That guy would have been over the board in like the third end, like right when he sat down. But no.
Well, we were irritated at him. Yeah. We were all chirping loud enough for him to hear, hoping he'd get the hint that he was annoying, you know, like.
Yeah. So if you look at the footage about three quarters of the way through that matchup, look for a bright Hunter's orange cap.
Yeah, that'd be Wes. Yep.
Hard to miss.
I wear that so I'm easy to find in a crowd, but it also makes you easy to spot on TV. So it worked out well.
It was very easy to find you the patch with like the black light they had.
Yes.
Just glowed.
Yes. Sure. Well, it was, you know, I got a little warm sometimes, but I really wanted to keep the orange hat on.
Yeah. Should we talk about the patch, by the way?
We got to talk about the patch.
No, you got to talk about
the patch. Do we want to get off? What else do we have to say about this heckler? I mean, it was fun. It made us minor celebrities.
It really did.
Yep.
The other part for minor celebrity game was
the jackets.
Yes.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that too. But I don't know. I kind of came to the conclusion that this guy was friends with some of the members of Team Nova Scotia, which is not a good look for them.
Well, I wouldn't put anything on Team Nova Scotia because I have a bunch of idiot friends and I'm not responsible personally for what those guys do. But that lady that sat in front of us, her and her husband, the older couple, you know, she did say that she thought he had said he was friends with one of the guys on the Nova Scotia team. Like he knew him personally, whether they are like cousins, brothers, went to high school together. I don't know.
Well, and you can't choose the people that come watch you play, right? If you know them, you know them. If you don't know them, you don't know them. But it's a tough look for a team.
I'm sure Team Nova Scotia didn't tell him, "Hey, go sit up front,
run."
No,
it's too bad for a young team like that to have that monkey on their back for the rest of the Bondsville. All right, yeah. So that was game one.
That was game one.
That was exciting. Yeah. Our first, all of our, because we all just said we'd never been to one. Our first match, we like made it on TV and we were like ground zero for the controversy, I guess.
That's the only time out of the years that I've watched the Briar, I've never seen someone get kicked out.
Yeah, well,
of the game. I'm sure there's been people that have been tossed from the
match. For our viewers, like, they didn't kick that guy out. What eventually happened was that second official came over and he asked to see their tickets. They did not have tickets for the front row. And I think he knew that because in hindsight, no one sat up there. They leave those seats open, I think, for kids to come up and like watch and get autographs. Mm-hmm. Did you guys notice how many children came up there? I think
it was usually young families. And even if they did have tickets, they were gone halfway through the game.
I think that they were telling them somewhere like at the like, hey, oh, you have little kids, like, you know, the front seats are open, like, you know, go down there, watch it up close, get an autograph. I
also, you can't really see the ice if you're sitting in the front row either. Kids and us.
Yeah. So
trying to get autographs.
So when they asked him about that, he said, well, you got to move. These aren't your seats. He just went back up behind us, like whatever, to his second tier seats that he'd had. And I talked to a lady on the bus on the way back and she said he was sitting by them after he got kicked out. And he just sat there and whined the rest of the match about
those losers. I thought they eventually kicked him out after they got him out of the camera.
No, they didn't kick him out. No, they just said, these aren't your seats, move. So he went back to his seats and like That was it. He suffered no repercussions.
Wow.
Huh.
Yeah. I didn't see I didn't know that. The weekend, I thought they just got him out of the camera's view and then kicked him out.
And then tossed him, yeah.
No. That lady on the bus said he went up there and he whined loudly and complained about how unfair and rude everybody was. So,
you mean like us, like the entire crowd applauding when they kicked him out?
Yeah.
I don't think it was like the entire crowd. I think it was just us, really. I started clapping and everybody else started clapping.
Oh, that was too funny. That was great.
Yeah. Was great. Oh, God.
Good first experience.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
So
now the patch.
Well, so the Briar Patch, it's imagine a giant beer garden.
Well, what were you expecting first off? Because I'd heard about the patch. I didn't know what to expect though.
Smaller is really, I was expecting something similar. I was blown away by the size.
I was expecting like something the size of a large restaurant or like a club, you know, like they had a bar in there and some TVs, but that was not it.
Imagine. So, I mean, we know the All Seasons Arena here, the State Fair Center. Imagine if you opened up all of the exhibition halls as one and piled everybody in. Yeah. And it was almost a lot of it was shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yes. I will say one thing. I just wish they had more seating in there because after the games let out, if you wanted to get a table to chat with your friends, no, not happening.
Yeah, not happening.
No.
Standing room only.
Yep. Yep.
So we're just kind of famous for the patch of and having an oversized patch like back in I don't remember what year it was, they actually set the record for the most attendance in a Briar Patch since it's like since it became a thing back in the 80s or late 70s I think is when they officially started doing the Briar Patch. They had Blue Rodeo come in and play one of the nights and they were selling tickets to outside people. And they actually said security got overwhelmed because you had so many people coming from the venue and so many people coming for the concert.
Yeah.
There ended up being like 8,000 people there.
Yeah, over what the fire code allowed.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, okay, well, and it was 3-4 o'clock before they ended up getting everybody out of there in the morning.
Yeah, I was impressed with the patch. It was massive, which was great because you needed all that room. I mean, they didn't have a lot of tables, but there was enough room to like stand.
You needed every foot of that space, and it would be larger than any given exhibition hall in Minot.
But
pretty easily.
It was cool. They had the big Connect Four. They had giant Jenga. They had some shuffleboard tables. They weren't even shuffleboard, actually.
Because they're the curling version.
It was big curling. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a special name for that.
Yeah.
I don't remember it, though. But yeah, those tables are quite popular now.
Yeah, they were selling them. Most of them were sold by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, it's a guy out of Winnipeg that sells them, I think. Yep.
Good food. They had that pierogi and sausage place set up. There was obviously a Montana's barbecue and grill.
Yep. There was that taco truck that I never tried.
Yeah.
They had the right amount of bars too. Cause they had 60-foot bars with like 20 people working each one. So you could actually get a drink in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Live music each night.
I will say I'm an old fuddy duddy, but I can't stand going to something like that where they play the music so damn loud you can't have a conversation. I mean, I was screaming to be heard and I have bad hearing anyways. I just nod. People talk to me. Yeah, for sure.
About a football field away from the stage too.
Yeah.
The night was really loud. During the day, it wasn't as bad.
Yep. Well, they weren't playing the live music.
I guess the live music hadn't started yet. On Sunday, they had the Saskatchewan Rough Riders pet band playing in the hallway. If you want to know loud, that was loud.
Yeah,
that shook your ears.
So what was that country rock whatever band?
The Wreck Laws.
Okay, so the Wreck Laws, and I had never heard of them before.
Yeah, they're just
because they're Canadian not big only. Down south. Yeah, and so I had mentioned that to a couple people. Like, oh, yeah, I'd never heard of that band before. And they were like, looked at me like I was on something. And I was
big band in Canada.
Yeah, I gathered.
So we mentioned the jackets earlier. Representing the Minot Club. How many people came up to you and told you stories about the shirt sleeve?
I had seven different people approach me and say, I used to come to a Bonspiel in Minot. You guys still got a club down there?
Yep. I'd say, about the same ballpark for me, seven. I had one guy, he came up, claimed to have gotten in the first fight here, which is
a sketchy part of our
Unless it was 1961, I doubt it.
I would tend to agree with you, but it happened to be the only one I remember. So when he started talking about it, like, oh yes, I was there.
Oh, you're talking the one on the stairwell with Adam Nathan's buddy where the guys fell down the stairs
because
they started fist firing at the top. Okay.
Yep. I think that was a different one. But yeah, yeah, plenty of people. Jackets were great.
The jackets were great. It was so cool to like have a squad. And not only were we recognizable, because there was other people like Quebec, you know, their fans had like matching t-shirts on, but we had like
stay over there.
High quality, you know, embroidered jackets.
Yeah, we looked good.
We looked good. I got compliments singularly just on the jacket as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much.
I also got to say just, because in our last podcast, or our second to last podcast, I mentioned how just because I'm from Canada, I don't know everybody in Canada. I 100% take back that statement after being up there for a weekend, because I knew a lot of people. We were, what, halfway through the first draw, and I looked up on the Jumbotron and said, hey, there's my Uncle Jack.
Yep.
My Uncle
Jack. Yep.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think I ran into anybody I knew there, but we stopped at like a gas station and my wife knew the attendant working there. Yeah, it was a gal that she had worked with previously up in Saskatoon. So it was like, we're 4 hours away from where you last seen her, just run across her. So.
Well, and the one guy you were talking to about the shirt sleeve as well, turned out to be Stu Leonard, who is the cousin of my brother-in-law, and he was with the Struthers, who are also from Ogama, that I've played ball against for years.
Nice.
It was just like, hey, Wes is talking to people. And I look over and I was like, Wes is talking to people I know.
I know them.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I better get in this conversation. And
not only that, I think those jackets probably got us a couple extra entries for our shirt sleeve, because I noticed after talking to one of the guys, I saw his name on the registration the next week.
Was it a team out of Assiniboia? Because I really pumped it up to that guy.
The first.
Oh, it could have been. I can't remember his name, though.
Everybody who said they used to come to a Bonspiel in Minot, I went, that's great. We're still having it. You should come back. We take Canadian at par for registration.
They love that.
I know. I'm like, give them what they want right off. Yep. And then go, by the way, we got live music. You'll get dinner.
Yeah.
You know, give them the spiel.
I also got to give a shout out to our fan club on the bus. The group of
old
folks that were staying in our hotel.
I got invited to their cabin.
Yeah.
Like one couple. Yep. Yeah. I was chatting their ear off. They're like, well, yeah, you can come up to our cabin anytime.
They were great. They all weekend long. They were just so happy to see us. And
yes. Well, let's just talk about the people in general. I have never been to a sporting venue and just had as many positive interactions with the spectators.
Everyone's just happy like to be there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Everyone's happy to be there. Everybody's, you know, I think if you're not social, you probably don't talk to people, drive yourself and leave, you know, but I had so many good conversations, say hi to people, you know, ask what they're doing. Friendly, so friendly, you know, without getting into like the Canada stereotyping. But yes, it was exactly what the stereotype says.
Yeah. Yep. The old gals on Sunday morning, this is a pretty funny story because you guys had already taken off.
Yeah, we took off the weather.
So I woke up in the morning, went to the early draw on Sunday, and it was just me and one other guy. It was funny because he was wearing an Oss General Store sweater. Which is back in my neck of the woods, and just a tiny little general store that literally sells everything. But anyways, I digress on that. Him and I were the only ones that made the shuttle in the morning, only ones that made the draw. And I left early, picked up Kaylee. We went to lunch. And so when Kaylee and I walked back in from lunch, they're all waiting for the shuttle for the second draw. And they think they're going to be funny. And they're like, he's alive. He woke up today. He made it. He didn't have too rough a knife. And I said, you listen up, old ladies. I was one of two people that was awake for the early draw. You got sold out. I know none of you made it.
My wife told me that I was entertainment on the ride home. It must have been Saturday night. Because she's like, you were talking so loudly. Everybody in the back of the bus, because that was when she had went and stood in the back of the bus and we were up a little bit further. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to that couple and that lady, you know. And I guess the whole rear of the bus was following our conversation and commenting on it as we were talking. But they could only hear my side of it,
it was fun. That was fun. But yeah, unfortunately, like I mentioned, your guys' weekends ended a little early because of weather.
Yeah, it was too bad. I had my parents with. We had to take off late Saturday night, so we did miss the patch and the festivities.
Right. Which almost, I think, late Saturday night might have been better than when you guys took off, because you drove right through the brunt of it.
Yes, we did. You know, we had to go back to Redverse because we had left our other car there for her parents to drive. They ended up not coming Sunday, you know. The drive to Redverse was meh. You know, it was slow going. But the drive from Redverse to the border was, you couldn't see where the road was. I was looking at stubble in the ditch on both sides and saying, well, I'm between those stubble pieces. The road's got to be under here somewhere. Right? Four-wheel drive, you know, couldn't see nothing. 30 miles an hour for the that would normally takes an hour, took like a 2.5 almost.
I left Monday morning and it was no southbound lane from Regina to Weyburn.
Yes,
it was all drifted back in, and then after Weyburn it was gorgeous, like it hadn't even snowed.
Well, Charlie and Lauren I think left Sunday afternoon as well, and they ended up stopping in Weyburn.
They stayed in Weyburn
because they didn't feel like they could go any further that night. I don't know what the road was like there, which, and they have a smaller car, right? We had an all-wheel drive RAV4, and I was plowing trail with a 3/4-ton pickup, so.
Yeah, oh, it was a good thing my truck has skid plates for some of the drifts that I hit going a little too fast. It was rough.
I actually didn't have too much drifting. It wasn't super windy by Redverse, but yep.
Oh, yeah, it was blowing in between, from Regina, like I said, Regina to Francis, because you guys would have went down Stout and way to Redverse.
Yes. Oh, we should talk about that. So we stopped in Stoughton from Redverse on our way there, and I locked my keys in my car at the pump in Stoughton on the way there, and I was irritated. I blame my wife for hitting the lock button as she was getting out of the car. So that was the first mistake I made, was immediately trying to blame my wife for it, which doesn't improve the situation.
No, that never goes over well with anything.
So my phone was in the car. Luckily, my wife's phone was not. I was trying to ask up there if the Mounties will also help you unlock a car, because I know down here, sometimes the police will help you get into your vehicle. I don't think they do that as much anymore, but I know they used to. The Stoughton Cenex was actually under remodel when we were there, so luckily there was like,
I'd be a co-op
three yeah sorry co-op yes. yep sorry well the Cenex is here our co-op, that's why I'm confusing the terms, but yep, it was the co-op. So they had three construction workers in back, and they were able to provide me a mini flat bar, but there was nothing pokey. They had no antenna laying around, there was no coat hanger, so I ended up using a piece of shelving strut and a pry bar to jimmy my door open far enough I could slide that strut in there and unlock it, which I've still got it, by the way. I was quite proud. I spent 20 minutes looking for tools, well, probably 10-15 minutes looking for tools, and shout out again to the Stoughton Co-op. They let me, just random Joe Schmo, wander around their back room, like moving freezers and stuff, just trying to find like a piece of metal that had fallen somewhere. Yeah, and got that
it's
popped
a
open.
Hair concerning how quickly you did that.
Broken was, into
I
a
was,
lot of cars.
I was impressed.
If you need to bring into a car, I can get her in. If you have an alarm system, you're going to have to deal with that probably. But I'll get her open for you.
Yeah. So that's why I say we survived the weekend, between weather and locking vehicles and almost having to remove a fan on our own.
Yeah.
Highly successful weekend. We do have a item going into the silent auction for shirt sleeve. It is a cowbell. Signed by Team Ontario.
I also have a hat signed by Team Ontario. Yes. Clay, do you have anything?
I have. Actually, I'm questioning my decision on my favorite curling hat is all I had to sign, and I had Team Ontario sign it. Now I'm not sure if I want to continue wearing it or not, or if I need to
Think you should keep wearing it, because I was wanted to put the exact same hat that you had that got signed by the same team. I was going to put that on the silent auction.
Okay. I'm just going to wear the signed hat.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Good.
So, a little fun.
Also, the cowbells are damn loud.
Yeah. So loud. Like I said, I got a little aggressive when I saw the picture. I just ordered them and I didn't realize how big they were. And then you saw everybody else with like their little T-bells.
It's a full size cowbell.
It's a 7-inch cowbell.
Yes.
That will ring your ears off.
It hurts.
Yeah, it was quite loud.
Yeah.
I think the trick was to ring it down by your feet.
Yeah, between the legs, underneath the chairs. Muffle it a wee bit.
Ring for beer on them.
They do say ring for beer on them.
Which was appropriate.
The triple takeout. That was made when we rang it the first time, though. That was a heck of a shot.
Oh.
Scott Howard to win the game.
Yes. Well, that was like, I was on the fence about, you know, we had seen the kids going down there getting autographs. I was thinking I might go down there and try to get something signed. And I saw him make that shot. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll push these kids out of the way. Yeah, that was a great shot. I got to go talk to him.
All right, before we move on, or I guess I don't know if we're going to move on. There was a lot of stuff that happened. What was you guys' favorite moment of the weekend?
I would say the one I got most excited about was when Scott Howard threw that triple takeout to win the game. It was right in front of us. And there was just it was instinctual. I just started, you know, you saw something amazing happen right in front of you. You start clapping.
I agree. Same thing for me.
Yeah. I got to chat with Team None of It a little bit. That was cool. And we're still trying to get them on, I think.
Yeah, I'd love to get None of It on. Yep.
My favorite weekend, though, and you guys are going to make fun of me because you saw how much I fangirled when I did this.
I almost ran into you because you came to a dead stop. So let's paint a picture here. So when the games wrap up, you know, especially the late draw, it's an exodus, right? Like, we've all been to a sporting event. They, you know, last pitch is thrown and then everybody's going for the door at the same time. Well, at the Briar, everybody's going for the patch. So you walk up the stairs out of your bleacher or down, and then you get into the crowd, right? And it's usually 95% headed one direction. There's always 5% of people that are going the other way against the flow for some reason. So we're pushing through the human press, and I'm directly behind Nolan, who is a few inches taller than me, so I can't see over him. And then all of a sudden, he just dead stop right in front of me, and I like almost run into you. And I peer around, and what do I see, Nolan? What do I see when I peer around you?
You got to see Nolan shaking hands with Vic Router in an excessively awkward way. Like, it was a double, like, hand grasp, hand under. Probably like thought he was
staring deeply into his eyes.
He was holding a fledgling baby bird, cupping it in one hand and supporting it underneath with the other. Yes. Yes.
Obviously, broadcasting background, Canadian kid, watched the Briar, I've listened to Vic do curling bond spiels for years. I saw him and I was like, oh my God.
You were a little breathy too. I didn't get it out.
Yeah, I was nervous.
Yeah.
I was nervous. So I shook his hand. Said, hey man, like, thanks for everything you've done for the game. And then he answered me, and just hearing his voice in person, I was like, oh my goodness, you sound like an angel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walked by, and Russ Howard was right behind him, so I shook Russ's hand as well.
Do you remember the funny thing with Russ Howard after that? Because after he shook your hand, I kind of sidled out of the way, and my wife was standing right behind me, and then Russ Howard was like in my wife's face because he thought that like my wife wanted to get a handshake too. She had no idea who he was. And so he was like standing there like 4 inches from her, like chest to chest, and like had his hand out still. And my wife just kind of like sidled back behind me.
Oh, that's too funny.
Oh yeah. Cause she had no idea who he was. Right. Just this dude in a suit in front of her all of a sudden, looked like he wanted something. And she like raised her program and sidled back behind me.
Snuck out of there. That's funny. I do got to say though, surprisingly small hands, both of those men. And I got big mitts, I do admit it, but like that's why he was probably a little bit like thinking this guy's going to pull me into his jacket and walk away with me.
So speaking of small hands, I heard you also had an experience with Kevin Cooey over the weekend.
Yeah, I used the urinal right beside Kevin Cooey.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one of his teammates, Carrick Martin. Surprisingly giant human.
Human.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Human.
I mean, you were in the urinal. Anything else you'd like to comment on?
I didn't look.
Okay.
No.
Just checking.
No, it couldn't have been that big.
I would have looked.
Yeah. It was the ones at the patch had the dividers, so it wasn't like the ones in the actual arena.
Mm. Well, it's just harder to look.
Then, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was night one coming out of the patch. I turned a blind corner and I put my nose into Carrick Martin's chest, and I didn't expect him to be that big at all. That dude is a giant person.
Yep.
Yeah, I see his.
Yep.
Well,
I'll just say we're at 47 minutes. We've been chatting about.
We haven't even got off the Briar yet. We got other things we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think we'll save that one.
Save it for the next pod.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Well, league playoffs are coming up. Anything else you guys want to touch on with the Briar? Any other fun experiences that you had there?
Oh, Mondexpiel this weekend too, by the way.
Oh yeah, Mondexpiel.
Sign up.
I guess I would just say my thoughts that I've shared with others about it. You know, if you're listening and you're on the fence about attending a high performance curling event, go for it. Go do it. You know, my thing now is if it's anywhere convenient and I can swing it, I am going to go, which means next year, I don't know if you guys heard this yet, but Moose Jaw's hosting Men's Worlds.
Yep. Juice.
So yes. I'm going to Worlds and Moose Jaw next year.
For men or women?
I think it's just men's.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, yep. I think the women's will be across the pond next year because it's in Canada this year.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to that. And I think the boys want to try and go to Thunder Bay, you know, which is close from my neck of the woods for the Scotties. So maybe I'll hit the Scotties and men's worlds next year.
Hey.
It's great. It's great. There's really nothing like it.
It's fun. It's yeah, like I said, it's like no other sporting event. Like you're going to go there, you're going to make friends with everybody around you. It doesn't matter what team you're cheering for.
Yep.
Just a blast.
You know, watching curling on TV, like TSN does a good job showing the games. You know, I have my own little nitpicks about watching curling on TV. I want to see less sliding cameras and more stationary ones. Anyways, so you're not going to watch the game in the same way, but you're going to have an experience that you just can't get from watching it on TV, you know, going in person. I mean, stating the obvious, but go do it. Yeah.
And it's a little overwhelming the first game you watch because you got three other games going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You almost lose track.
You do.
But once you just keep track of what rocks they're on, and then you'll start to pick out like where the cool shots are going to happen.
Yep.
You won't miss a thing.
Well, you start watching the setups, you know, and you go, oh, this is looking like maybe I'll be doing a raise here next, so I should tune back in. And yeah.
Well, all right. Well, congratulations to Team Gushu. It's looking pretty strong heading into Worlds over in, I think it's in Switzerland this year.
Is it? Yeah.
The women's worlds is going on in Nova Scotia right now.
Yep.
I saw Holman started out with a win yesterday over Anne Hasselberg of Sweden. So that's a big win. But yeah. All right.
How'd your bracket end up, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Hey, we should. I forgot to talk about it in the intro, but yes. So we told everybody to do curlingdraft.com. I finished 77th. So if you're better than 77th place finish, please send us a screenshot of your team name and your results. And we have a fabulous prize for whomever did the best at the curling draft Briar picks. So
I was 111.
You were 111. I think I did the worst. Let me just type in and see where I ended up here. What was your guys' team names?
Oh, boy.
I had Wesley's Dazzling Team, 77th out of 207.
I was taken for granted.
Wow.
128.
Turd Ferguson spelled incorrectly. Because apparently curling. Because it's a funny name.
I think this might be.
Because you can't say turd in curling draft. It's not an allowable word.
So you got the filter.
Yes.
That's so funny.
Got the filter.
That's really funny. So I lost.
Yep.
You did.
You did.
Yeah. You did.
All right. Well, that happens. Bound to.
So this has been two sheets between two sheets.
Between two sheets with the three hacks of the Minot Curling Club.
Three hacks, episode 17.
We'll catch you next time.
Bye.